Friendly Geordies podcast, that is. Just in case you thought you were watching a TV show, no.
You're not blind.
And on top of that, very odd that you would get those two things confused, because I'm imagining most of you consume this in the car. And imagine if you're just sitting there watching the road going, oh yeah, it's time to watch the Bitumen channel again. So
how depressing is that? Don't you think a Persian dude who has those LCD in his cars is actually looking down to watch shows while he's driving?
Without a doubt. Music videos, mostly. A lot of music videos with women that are dressed in a lot of silver.
But goddamn, hipsters would use that to watch Netflix.
Oh, that's so gross. To watch that new show that's, Corbin.
Yeah, or
something like that while driving.
Or like end of the fucking world. I saw that while driving to work this morning. Yeah, I think
it's called multitasking. It's called you're a shit driver. So, the reason why we've got this music from Crocodile Dundee is because Ali has the most Australian story of all time. And that's a huge title.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Australian stories.
Well,
including the one of a baby that was put on the back of a Kelpie and someone took a photograph of it as if it was a small jockey. Is it more Australian than that? Because that's pretty damn Aussie.
Well, we've got to put it to test. I've got to give a shout out to Beatrice, who sent this news story to me. Thank you. She's the
girl that was in the last pod.
That's right.
Knows, admittedly, much less about star signs than what I'd hoped. But she knows some. Good on her.
But she never claimed to know. You're just like, so, what do you know about star signs? And she's just like, nothing. We should have prepared for this. I would have answered you.
Nonetheless, it's 100% Beatrice's fault.
So
tell us about it.
Dude, this story. This is how I start the story. So this story is about a town that was last relevant during the Second World War.
I'm liking this.
So the last time people actually gave a shit about this town, it's somewhere in the outback.
Is it abandoned?
Pretty much. Like, well, it might as well be.
10 people.
Yeah, the
bunch of old women on rocking chairs cackling at any car that dares drive past.
And the only reason why it sometimes comes into prominence is when some dude is just like, some backpacker goes missing every now and then over there. That's the story. And it's a crazy place. So this news story is about Mr. Muriati, who basically went missing while coming back from work. And the news story is essentially about, like, what happened to this guy? Mm. It's weird because, like, everyone hates everyone at this town. This like, you know how like...
So it's a multiple civil war.
It's
so it is like the American Civil War if there was 30 sides.
It was 30 sides and it was about the most bullshit reasons ever. Because
liking this.
Yeah, so this town... So when they ask like what could have actually happened to him, and most of the people are just like, so there could be two things, right? There's a 2% chance that he was abducted by aliens. But like,
2% chance.
And like, and it's 2% because like, if he was,
yeah,
then like, why isn't he back? I bet he could have like talked himself out of it. So I put that to 2%. 98% chance is it could be anyone, really. Because like, this town is engulfed in meat pie wars.
What?
Meat pie wars.
What's that?
So it's basically this town, there's only two places that sell shit. One of them...
Right, a general store and a server.
No, just like two, like they're both of them are pubs. Mm. And one of them sells meat pies and the other one decided to sell meat pies and just like, it went crazy.
Muscled in on their turf.
To the extent where this is the reason why this is the most Aussie news story ever. One of these places had a pet crocodile.
Okay. Yeah, that shoots right up into the top 10.
And the guy that they were fighting, I can't remember who it was, but like one of them basically stole the other guy's peacock and fed it to the pet crocodile. And the reason was that the guy who...
Oh, that's very mean. Attractive chickens.
Yeah, but how interesting is that? And the reason why he stole the peacock to feed it to his crocodile was because initially the other guy stole his buffalo and made meat pies out of it.
No. Oh, that is very World War II. Any meat you can find.
It is. It's the most.
Don't they have something called a meat freezer? Why don't they just get meat?
No, they know. They're like, they're fighting over stuff, and like, and the person who was abducted, like his girlfriend or something,
yeah,
was asked, "What do you have to say about this?" And this is like, "I know nothing. The lawyer told me to not say anything, so like, not saying anything." That was her statement in quotes.
This is World War II. This is 1788 still. It's just a town of convicts.
Yeah, and this story is so bizarre that the police now are basically just trying to, because this guy who's gone missing had a dog, and they feel that if they somehow find this dog, it would be more reliable for the investigation.
How is the dog to help? They're assuming it's going to talk.
No, they're assuming that it would be better than people who are talking. Because like, whoever they go up to is like, do you know someone who would have a reason to kill him? He's like, I have a fucking reason to kill him. That guy's a cunt. Like, they just start off with that. And the police is like, holy shit, dude, this place is... This is the wild, wild west of Australia. But like, now we've realized that it's...
Yeah, but with Dennis the Menace neighborhood feuds. Why are so into feuds? A feud's particularly Australian. I suppose if you were to believe A Current Affair, where it's one in three stories, the other one being about Coles and the other one being slightly overcharged by AGL.
Well, this is a perfect example of a town that technically should be, really, they should be friendly because there's like five of them.
Yeah.
But they're not.
That's a good reason to come together.
Because... They're like, no one gives a shit about this town. This is...
That's so sad. And so they have less friends than us, Ali. No one's friends with each other.
Yeah, which is basically the two of us. And Miss Love, who...
He's an acquaintance.
Yeah, he's an acquaintance who is now in an exotic land that has not been touched by human beings.
Particularly Australians.
Bali. Why am I not surprised?
His one suggestion. I said, how's Bali? And he says, man, you know what? Let's just do the podcast from here from now on, man.
Yeah, as if Lipscomb...
As if that's not the most Aussie thing of all time.
Yeah, you know you're... Dude, Bali should be Aussie. Like,
I was saying it in a previous podcast. It has to be Canberra. Move our capital to Bali. Move to Coota Beach.
Dude, Trump would do that. That would be his version of like moving to Florida. The winter White House. Oh, also the summer, because it's summer now. Did not think about that. Just the White House now.
There would never be an argument if you had it on Coota Beach. No, there would be never any parliamentary sledgings. It's too hot and Calippos are far too available. Everything would just be so much more peaceful. Having said that, though, I can guarantee you this country would become much, much poorer. Much quicker.
Yeah. Why? Because like most of the federal budget was spent on jet ski trips.
There's a big reason, I think, for why Indonesia has consistently remained poorer, even though there's all these quote-unquote economic booms of having one of the largest populations on the planet, and that's because it's sticky there.
It's sticky.
As soon as something's sticky, you just don't feel like doing work.
So even if you've got the most oil and gas reserves in the world, if your weather sucks, you will suck.
Don't you reckon?
Hot and
I
sticky.
Swear this is not a controversial point. I bet you you can prove this with economic theory. Like what we were talking about in a podcast years gone by, where you met somebody from Somalia, was it? One of the island states.
Oh, Samoa. Yeah, yeah.
Samoa. Yeah. Not Somalia. No, you didn't meet a guy.
Yeah, I hung out with pirates.
No, you better. You just hung out with someone who's extremely sleepy. You hung out with a human Snorlax. And yes. It's because she comes from there. It's too hot to do anything. It's not even the heat. It's the humidity, isn't it?
Yeah. And actually, like, while we're at the subject, she showed me the most insane video of, like, somewhere in New Zealand. It's a couple, like, you know, oh, man. Like, I think Bogan would be an understatement for this couple. Because while this, like, really nice minister, right? She's, like, reading out the vows or whatever, doing the service. They're just chugging VBs.
Ferals.
And
100% like, ferals.
And
you don't chug in a church.
It's not even a church, it's a patio. And they're like,
oh, you chug there, that's fine.
And but like, dude, it's funny because she doesn't, like, when she's asked to say I do, she doesn't say I do, she just raises her fist.
No.
and
makes the international hand gesture for fisting. And the, gets married.
And the guy who's also getting married stops the minister or like the service lady at one point, whatever they're called, to say, wait, because he's like needs to reopen another beer because he's done with one of his tall necks. At first I thought it was a joke, but then I was like, no, dude, these guys exist. They're here. They don't give a shit.
Why would you marry an alco?
Both of them
That's
were.
That's just some life advice. Can we just give a little 10-second clip at every Friendly Geordies podcast from now on, which is just notified as universal tips. Don't marry someone who scoffs two beers during getting married.
And
that's not going to be a rock solid happy ending. I can guarantee you won't say they lived happily ever after to that family.
Dude, you know what was another tell? The fact that she would rest her long neck VB on her belly whilst at the service.
So she had a beer gut that was able to sustain her beer.
Huge. And
yes. It turned into one of those 80s cushions that you put down on your lap while you're eating to watch TV. She has an inbuilt system.
Yeah, she's got an inbuilt. The guy's mullet was touching the ground.
Oh, Super Saiyan Jin 3.
Anyway, that was a deviation.
From the next segment, which of course is Churchill, Balls of Steel.
This is a segment that Jordan came up with after watching the Gary Oldman movie.
Whatever it's called. Gary Oldman was in it.
Yeah,
the guy. Yes, it should have just been from the guy from The Fifth Element, and you know, I think he was in Batman. Comes another movie, and so I saw the other movie, Darkest Hour. That's what it was. God, this is a research segment. I saw it yesterday.
Oh shit, Alzheimer's, dude.
I reckon it's happening.
It's happening. You're
early onset Alzheimer's,
and it's because of pedestrian. You're focusing too much on them.
It's that could be. I would not be surprised if you got scientific studies that proved exactly that it turns your brain into a 70-year-old looking at pedestrian, trying to look like it's relevant to Gen Y, when it's actually just run by a bunch of Gen Xers who refuse to acknowledge the fact that they haven't had kids yet is sad.
Nerds,
the people that run that place, because I've been into pedestrian a couple of times, the people that run it at the very top, those guys got a lot of swirlies in high school. They are not men.
Man, that's why we shouldn't give swirlies, because it will make people into...
Yeah, I'll show you. I'll make a clickbait site and make probably 180 grand a year. I could have used my brain power for something in the Department of Fisheries and made more money.
Yeah,
I'll
but,
show you.
But my job would be so insecure.
And also just constantly surrounded by extremely insecure people. I reckon that it should just be renamed from pedestrian to what's cool at the moment. Can you guys tell me?
Yeah.
That's what that publication should be named. But anyway, because we've been shitting on them a lot, and we will in future videos. The next one that's coming out is me shitting on Vice for what it seems like now, 20 minutes. Matt is taking out a lot of the content, so it might be 17 minutes, because he's saying that a lot of it could get us, well, sued.
He's no lawyer.
Yeah, what does he know? Just because he's got glasses?
Probably
but the
right,
point
though.
Is that he's probably right. It's very offensive. It's extremely mean.
But it's warranted, I must say so.
That's what I reckon as well. It's, you know, why is iDubbbz allowed to make fun of Rice Gum, but I'm not allowed to make fun of journalists from Vice? Matt likes iDubbbz's content. I'm passe to it. I think, well, I think there's worse people in the world than some guy sitting in a mansion releasing 20 minutes of content a day of him going, you see, I see all these haters in the comments. They're mad. But look, just know this. This is what's going to make you even angrier. You're what got me this mansion. You're giving me the views. So keep hating haters. I love that is the pinnacle of YouTube at the moment.
Damn.
Just saying every day, just making fun of your haters is what gives you a mansion in the YouTube game.
We should have predicted it. It's literally like rap music. What gave Tupac and Biggie the fuel to go on? The beef.
That's probably the reason why people equate them on the same level. Otherwise, you just go, oh, Tupac was good in his own right, as was Biggie.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say Biggie or Tupac, which one's better? Well, the beef still goes on today. I think we can move on to something else.
Nah, but it's killer for ratings. Still,
it definitely
dude,
works.
MTV still milking on that shit, and they desperately need to milk on something.
What's MTV milking on?
Dude, I bet that they're still coming like, so what, like... He's clearly an East Side guy, right?
Yeah. That filming Dero cunts in, again, a mansion that really have no economic skills whatsoever to be in that mansion apart from the fact that they're Deros.
Yeah.
So it is a limited time only offer. And if I was one of them, I would take that with both hands.
Yeah, I'm really sad that Pimp My Ride is gone. I really enjoyed those LCD screen on bumpers. That would be the first thing to go, right? Like, just, and what's the point of it?
It doesn't work. You know what I found out about Pimp My Ride?
What?
Half the cars they had to disassemble afterwards because they are not roadworthy in the slightest. And whoever would have thought the plasma screen TV's inside wheels would have been.
Yeah, and like that car wasn't running anyways. Now you've put a shitload of weight on it.
Yes. I mean, we all appreciate what you did to it, but let's be perfectly clear about this. That was purely artistic.
Yeah, and like, how come you never worked on the engine?
Yeah. Who did they get to do it?
No one. It was just a
graffiti artist, surely. That would have been the guy pimping the rides.
It basically just became like a studio apartment. You just like keep it at one place and you get in there every now and then to just appreciate the screens all over.
And appreciated we did. There's those two things remind me of being 16 more than anything was A, oh my God, so many TVs in that car. And two, oh man, Jackass 2's coming out.
But this still, come on, how much better was that than like my sweet 16?
I mean, I don't know if we're the right demographic that they were trying to hit for sweet 16, but nonetheless, I feel that would be so sad. 20-year-old guys. Would they be into watching teenage girls throwing a tantrum, seeing what their little sister does on a daily basis, but on TV?
She's a catch. Such a good personality.
That was... I do not understand who that appealed to. Not one of those human beings was remotely good. If you had to cull off the bottom 3.5 billion people, as in, if you had God points as to how moral these human beings were, obviously Dalai Lama would be somewhere towards the top. This girl I knew from Korea that was from Bhutan originally, she'd be up there. Anyone that appeared on my Sweet 16 wouldn't even be up in the grey area of them, maybe. Just instantly out.
Dude, they're literally on Santa's bad list. They're not even...
Yes, their dad is supplementing that. Santa is not visiting these kids.
Yeah. Like, they're the sort of kids that would keep their broken tooth under their pillow and then next day would get $10 and would be pissy with their dad. Like, Dad, I know it was you, but $10? That's ridiculous. Who do you think I am?
I mean, do we really need those people?
No.
Those go to the bottom 3.5 billion. Done.
They should be eliminated.
Actually, let's talk about this, though, with Churchill. Definitely in the bottom 3.5 billion. Scum. You know, I've been listening to a bunch of historiographers. Man, I'm so into controversial opinions at the moment. I don't know how this has happened. I'm just so, like, wherever there's a hornet's nest on the net, I always feel now of just, you know, ramming a spear up there as far as I can. But I've been listening into a bunch of historiographers that, can I just point out before saying this, they're not Nazis. Now, having said that, they strongly defend the Nazis.
Really? Yes. In what way?
They're saying that if the Nazis won World War II, it would probably be a better thing for world order in the long run, as well as Japan.
Why?
Because if you look at the countries now and how technologically advanced Japan and Germany are in comparison to other Western nations, no comparison. they're both leaders in climate change in comparison to the US and Britain.
Yeah.
So there could be an argument to say that we were the bad guys.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. We should probably, like... Okay, there's a lot of things that were fucked about the Nazis, but...
I don't know.
Oh, no, man.
I haven't seen one piece of evidence towards that yet. That's been proven.
Yeah, true. But like, no,
you're
but
listening to the Friendly Geordies podcast that originally started to just give props to Labor and say, hey, it's better than the Liberals. Let's not put them all in the same wheelbarrow to Holocaust denial on a weekly basis.
Let's revisit history. What is the Auschwitz really? Was it always a museum?
Why did it have a pool?
What?
That is the worst argument I've heard for Holocaust denial so far. Well, there was a pool there. Yeah, probably for the generals that visited. I sincerely doubt it was for the workers.
Dude, how insane is that? There's a but anyway, like but the point about like the point that I was making was that, you know, like this is most of the wars happened because of this idea that like there's a way of doing things. There's a status quo.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's an emerging power, and then they reach a level where they want to reset the rules because, like, they're big enough. They don't think, like, it should be run that way.
Yeah, they were the China of 1945.
Exactly, they were the China of 1945. So you got, like, and they've done research where, like, in about, I can't remember what this is called. There's, like, a specific Greek name for this from the Peloponnesian Wars. But basically, they did this research, and they found out that about, in 8 out of 12 cases, it would lead to a war. Just the dynamic, right? That the China of today and, like, Germany and Japan of the yesteryears.
Which is why they think that a war between America and China is inevitable.
Yeah, a lot of people think it's inevitable. Just because of the fact that they're growing and they're going to reach a level where they would want to take over. And once they take over, they're not going to accept the rules as they are. Like, in almost every case.
Right. Still remain confident that America will win. Because, I don't know, Tucker Carlson seems to think so. So, tell me more.
No, you tell me more. You tell me more about Churchill.
Sorry. This is the third time we've attempted this. So, Churchill saw the movie, very inspired, straight after my editor and I stared at each other at the end of the movie, Darkest Hour, highly recommend you see it, looked at each other and said, to the library! And I've been studying him ever since. He is a boss. I don't know if anybody knows this, controversial opinion, Winston Churchill really was one of the best prime ministers of Britain, there I said it, so much better than Lord Palmerston. So, the reason is, there was many a reason, but my God, I'm so glad I saw that film in comparison to, there was another one out called Three Billboards. So we watched the trailer of that. It was some woman in the South that paid money to put up three billboards because her daughter went missing, and they just said, the police ain't researching who done took my daughter. And then the cops went, ma'am, do you mind putting that down? And she said, no, it's my right. It's my right to put up billboards. And this was sold as the most inspirational tale of all time. So brave. And then you go straight from that to watching the trailer to The Darkest Hour, and it just have Winston Churchill in 1939 Parliament just yelling, we will stop the Nazis, whatever the human price, because victory at any cost is better than servitude! With the entire Parliament going insane. And I mean, really, is putting up three billboards that much of a triumph? To stopping the Nazis? Stop saying that chick's brave. Churchill's a fucking boss.
Yeah.
There's many a reason for it, but I really want to hone in as I'm... I don't know if you know this yet, Ali, but I enjoy self-help. And
really? What's that like?
Well, and I understand why it's constantly being used as quotes in self-help books. Now, there's two major reasons. Another one came from another book that I was reading years ago. Name escapes me. But it was talking about how most of the major wartime leaders suffered from manic depression. The reason that they were able to lead during a time of warfare, and they were always, if you look at their track record, so Abraham Lincoln, General Grant, Winston Churchill, got bored of reading the book after that, but there was many more chapters, but all three of them, their mind went to dark places naturally. So in a time of peace, when pretty much all you want is somebody to continue the status quo, minor changes here and there, your Neville Chamberlains of history, whoever the general was that Grant took over from before that had a really crap policy of fighting the South. And General Grant was ruthless in his endeavors towards it.
Yeah.
But he got results.
He got results.
And the reason is because most people, usually especially when they're in power, they come from, I really hate this word, but privileged positions in society. They've never really had dark thoughts. They had a great childhood. They studied. They ticked all the boxes in university. They get into the position of power because they went through all the hoops to get there.
Mm.
That's fine for a time of peace. In a crisis, you need to be creative as fuck.
Yeah.
And those people who are ticking boxes ain't creative. And if you're a manic depressive, you'll see it all throughout art. They're the extremely creative ones. Your Van Goghs, your name escapes me of others, Salvador Dali.
So, like, you think people. Van Gogh should be a wartime leader?
Absolutely, he should. Why not?
Yeah, he'd get Hitler's ear.
No, he'd cut his ear off in front of Hitler and just go, that motherfucker's crazy.
Yeah, Hitler's just like, all right, man. Like, relax.
I know I'm nuts, but goddamn.
I've got one.
Just out crazy to me. The classic strategy that you use in high school and in prisons if you're a small kid. You say nothing. If anyone goes near you, just go berserk and people back off.
Yeah, dude. Like the terrorists of today.
So the reason that he, Winston Churchill, manic depressive his entire life, every military strategy that he implemented, dismal failure. But they were creative. For instance, in Gallipoli, this is a very unpopular opinion to say, I'm easily going to make myself Yasmin 2.0 by saying this, but it could have worked. Gallipoli could have worked.
Yeah.
It was a noble strategy. I mean, I don't like the fact that they roped Australia into it, but we're part of the empire, so you got to pay your dues, right? Such an imperial worldview.
Yeah, it's just like,
why I maintain we shouldn't have become a republic. Good choice, Australia.
Dude, you seem like the guy who should be fighting for property rights for released convicts. Like, this argument belongs to that generation.
And that's why I tell you that the Master Servants Act is balanced. Master Servants Act was if you arrive to work late by 5 minutes, they could take you to the mill. Where you, for the rest of the day, for free, you had to tread flour. And I stand by that is a fair industrial relations policy. So, regardless of whether or not we have machines, shut them down, put people that are late to 5 minutes of work to there.
Screw unions. We should have stuck to that.
I love that. What have unions done for me? I don't know. Not made you a hamster?
Yeah, they don't know. Man, like, I was actually... Anyways, go on. Like, but I was reading, like, the plight of the working man of that generation was... insane.
it wasn't fun.
18 hours a day working in like complete dark in most cases.
And now you complain about having to do shifts at Kmart.
You know what was a revolutionary idea? The fact that 8 hours of sleep, 8 hours of work, and 8 hours of resting. That was like an...
That was revolutionary. That was Australia's Karl Marx, the guy that came up with that slogan.
Yeah. And now it's just like, well, the weekend should be 4 days, but screw the unions. Because, like, they're not going to do anything. Clive Palmer's talking about it, and he's going to do it.
We could talk about that. He tried to jab me in a meme today, which was hilarious. And I really am so honored that let's be honest, fat guy from the Monty Python skit that if he ate a single more mint, his entire belly would explode. That guy
Why?
Knows about me.
It's filled with coke. Why?
As if it's not. Yeah. I would be very surprised if that man drinks water.
He's like that Pakistani friend of mine who's never had water in his entire life.
He will look like that when he's 60. He will be Clive Palmer.
Yeah, he's got a water cooler in his room that's filled with coke. Because he thinks, I don't know what like the fuss is about water. Like, coke's got water in it. Like, everyone knows that.
God. What would be really unsettling is if he had a marine tropical aquarium that was filled with Diet Coke for water. He just put salt in it.
Dude, not even Diet. Like, nah, I don't like the taste of Diet Coke.
Yeah, that's why I give it to the fish. Clive Palmer constantly saying that. Of, I'm just going to run Australia like I run my business. What, into liquidation? Is that why we're voting for you?
Damn, fucking not a fat good example.
Stop using that as an example, please. Yeah. It's embarrassing. So,
move away from this fat cunt to a fat cunt that we can all respect.
Winston Churchill. The reason that he was able to... So there was that. The other thing that I didn't realize about him at the time was the only reason he became prime minister was because Neville Chamberlain obviously dismally failed with trying to appease Hitler. The opposition said, we will form government if Neville Chamberlain goes. They tried to give it to the foreign minister. He said, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole because France was about to be lost.
Yeah.
So none of the upper echelons of the ministry that the opposition would accept... would accept the role. The only one that would was Winston Churchill. Now, they accepted him to bite the bullet and be the face of the public, the face of the public of the guy that brokered a peace deal with the Nazis, aka essentially made Britain a province. Instead, he stood up and said, we will fight the Nazis. He was the only man in the entire echelon of power in the United Kingdom, including the king, that wanted to fight.
But you know what, he wanted to fight, but what he meant was like, man, we'll just take a beating. Cuz like it was so the only reason like why the Nazis didn't end up like occupying Britain was cuz their navy wasn't as good as Britain's. And so like they couldn't, and cuz like Britain's an island, they have to use their navy. But they had like the most insane air force, the Luftwaffe or something like that. And they would basically just go over and just like pound their asses with like missiles and shit. That were way more advanced than what the Brits had at the time.
True, but there was also a psychological aspect to it as well, apparently, was that you know, just when you're in high school and you think that some guy is cool just because everyone else thinks he's cool.
Yeah.
That's essentially what Britain was. Because it was clearly the imperial head at the time.
Yeah.
So he was sort of intimidated, apparently,
by the fact that
Britain exists. Yes.
Yeah.
So he never really committed to a full-scale invasion. That, again, historians think he probably could have won.
He probably could have won, but you know what? That's because... Man, there's like two theories to it. One theory was that he wanted to like take on Russia first, and then once because he was afraid of like going on an all-scale assault.
It's a clever strategy. That's what they claim the Germans should have done in World War One, and then they would have had a much better chance of winning. But continue.
Nah, you know what I reckon? You know what I reckon he should have done? He should have actually
such
like
pub chat.
He should have formed an alliance with the Russians and then taken over Britain. I reckon it could have been, but it doesn't matter. It's gone now. History has spoken and Hitler's dead, but German manufacturing is still mad.
Or is he?
Dude, there's a theory that... Okay,
he
so
still
one
lives
guy,
in Antarctica.
Yeah, no, not Antarctica. Someone told me South America.
Argentina is one of the theories, but there's another one that there is a underground base in Antarctica built for 100,000 Nazis and Hitler and his girlfriend are there.
But
which would make him, what, 130?
That's the point. Like, some guy was trying to argue with me. He was like, dude, Hitler's still alive. He's in South America. I was like, he would have been dead from natural causes by now. Like, this was... World War II was a long-ass time ago, dude. Don't you... Like, why do I have to explain this?
I mean, we're at the 100-year end of World War I. World War II is getting pretty close to 100 years ago.
Yeah.
So... It's about 80 years now. Damn.
Shit.
So Winston Churchill, the fact that he had that resolve, first of all, the reason why the opposition would accept him is because he was the only one that had any semblance of public currency. Because for the last 10 years, he was telling the public the truth, which was, no one wanted to hear it, but it was the truth, that Adolf Hitler was rearming Germany. And... that he was training his youth, like the Spartans, to think that death is really noble. He was basically turning Germany's youth into a nationwide Al-Qaeda. They wanted to die for Germany. Why else would you be training that unless you wanted full-scale invasions?
Some level of hypnosis, eh? But man, it was also like, okay, Hitler was a cunt, bad person and everything, but the way he gathered that popular support was like with some good-ass economic policies, man.
Oh, I don't think anybody can deny that.
Yeah.
And except you know what, for, what's the bet? Ron Paul. Ron Paul would
the
hate
fact that,
Germany's
like,
policies.
The fact that like he had a cabinet was like wrong enough.
It was big enough government.
Yeah, it was big enough. Like,
the fact that there was 12 people. I mean, I could understand 6 people running a country, but 12?
Yeah. Like, he should have just taken over. Like, he himself. You're talking about, like, a kingdom, dude? What are you saying?
Not even a kingdom. Just a chimp boss. Someone who's the king of the chimps. That's his ideal governance.
Yeah.
Governant. So, Winston Churchill had that social currency. So, he was put in for that reason. Nobody wanted him there apart from the opposition, and basically they thought that it was just going to be a soft transition over to power. He was facing immense pressure from anyone who was a decision maker in the UK to negotiate a peace deal with the Germans. He refused to do it because he understood the psychology of Hitler, and on top of that, he knew that the deal would be terrible because he'd just done what Napoleon had failed to do. He'd pretty much taken all of Europe.
Yeah.
Why would he at that point go, oh, yeah, actually, yeah, let's make this a 50-50 deal, win-win. There's no way. So he started to galvanize the public mind by himself. Think about how huge that accomplishment is. One man convincing an entire nation to fight the Nazis.
But, man, okay, here's the thing. When you're getting pounded by missiles, I think everyone... like
they weren't at that point.
Oh, they weren't. But
the general public did actually want to fight the Nazis. But if they knew what the upper echelon knew about what was happening to France, I don't think they would have.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was an immense pressure under him, and he stood by, which just made me think. It was what Noam Chomsky was talking about, where he said that all throughout history, there's false prophets and then there's prophets. And you remember throughout history the prophets, the ones that weren't afraid to speak the truth, which is what you see consistently. People just, because it's much easier to just talk to a bubble. It's much easier to talk to people that have a set of views, and then you just mollify those opinions and reinforce them, and then you get support within that political circle. It's so much harder to turn around to that bubble, which is why I respect Bill Maher, the Winston Churchill of our times.
Yeah,
because he does. He goes and talks to the Democrats and says, this is where you're wrong.
Yeah.
That's an incredible accomplishment. What other Democrat does that?
Which is basically, like, he's got, like, you can put his criticism into, like, one slogan. Stop being pansies. Isn't that, like, his only criticism of the Democrats, really? Just, like, stop being pansies. Can we be boss already?
And it's fair.
It's fair. But, you know, that's, like, that's actually true. That's why... So, like, Bill Maher's career is, like, a good example of this, right? This is a very difficult part to take, the part of truth, which is that throughout the time when you're doing it, when you really want that sort of respect, you're not going to get any. People are going to rub it. Like, you know, his show, like, Politically Incorrect got canceled. Everyone's just like, he's done. But now he can say whatever he wants because he's earned the respect where, like, people might not agree with him, but they're like, yeah, but, like, I respect the guy. Like, he sticks to his guns.
Mm.
And
respect is such a more solid currency. I think that if you ask most people, do you like Paul Keating? Most people would say, he's arrogant, I hate him. And they'd say, but do you respect him? Do you think he's knowledgeable?
Hmm.
I'd imagine those same people would turn around and go, I guess so.
No, man, like some, I actually met this guy who's an accountant and used to work for the government. And he had, like, I asked him, what do you think about Paul Keating? He's like, yeah, same thing. He's like, he was an arrogant guy. I was like, but, like, come on. He was pretty cool, right? And it was like, oh, dude, he was a visionary. I hate him, but he was a visionary.
And how few of there are those? This is what is really unfair about it, that Churchill was voted out of office after winning the war. That man won World War II.
Yeah.
And he made huge decisions, massive implications that no one else wanted rested on their conscience, so they deferred them to him. So, for instance, with Dunkirk, this is all in the movie, so I'm spoiling it for you. Oh, no, just watch it. But
as if you didn't know what happened. It's part of history. Like, it wasn't like, oh, man, thanks, like, you ruined it, man. Dude, just, like, Google World War II.
It's not Game of Thrones. So, yeah, with Dunkirk, they were thinking of just surrendering the men because at least they'd be alive. He was saying, no, we need that fighting force. They all agreed with that. There was another smaller fighting force of 4,000 men in another harbour. He then contacted the commander of that force and said, you're just going to have to be a suicide mission. How brave is that? And he said, right, yo, stiff upper lip and all that, and did it. He started attracting German fire and attention to him, made his force seem like it was more of a threat than what it was, to give them enough time to evacuate the troops out of Dunkirk. Almost all of them were withdrawn out of it, and that was because of Churchill's just a pure attrition number-crunching logic that at the end of the day, look, it's a tough decision.
Dude,
I
so
wouldn't
tough.
Like 4,000 men's deaths on my conscience, but for the greater good.
For the great,
and the thing is, if he was just one of those, had a really nice childhood, didn't suffer manic depression, didn't have the mental wherewithal to deal with huge psychological pressure like that, there's no way he would have made that decision.
And you know, like, most of the people during that time, even if they were offered the prime ministership, would straight up refuse. I bet at that point, like, if you looked at the cabinet, most people would. Because
do you,
like,
reckon you would?
I hope not, but maybe, maybe because like it's a difficult thing to do, man. It's cause it's all of the blame of, like, you know, millions of people dying is on you, or you could, like, save your country. It's the, you know, like, talk about, like, you know, a disbalance, like they're two extremes, and anyone at that point. It takes a real gutsy man to, at that point, go like, yeah, okay, I'll take that job.
That's what I like about him. He deserves to be seen as the bulldog of history. A, because he looks like one remarkably separated. He was definitely birthed by a bulldog. He was definitely taken out as one of the Caesareans because they can't give birth because the heads are too wide. They're such abominations. Such Frankenstein dogs. But think kick. That was definitely what he was. He probably only lived 8 years, and five of them were fighting the Nazis. Good on him. But the other point that really sticks with me is that he knew about Pearl Harbor, and he didn't say shit to Truman, even though he was on good talking terms with him,
yeah,
because of the neutrality agreement that they wouldn't enter the war, and he knew that that would spark them on into entering the war.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of leaders wouldn't do that.
But again,
won the war.
Because even with, like, the U.S. wanted to be part of the Second World War because they recognized the threat of Nazism, right? But the public, man, this was the public. U.S. was always, this is the weird thing, like, it's weird to think about it now, but before the 1900s, U.S. was basically just completely They were living in isolation. And, like, throughout history, they've never really wanted to go into wars. Same thing happened in the First World War, and same thing happened in the Second World War. The reason why they came in late was not actually because of the politicians, but because of the public opinion. Mm. And then once Pearl Harbor happened, they were like, now we can bring them around.
And was it Truman? Was he the one with polio?
Yeah. The man.
Everyone just
looked
this up.
The wheelchair man.
The wheelchair man. That's so good that it was that long ago that people thought that he was half man, half machine. Look this up, though. It is the most inspiring thing in history. When everyone goes, oh my God, Julia Gillard calling Tony Abbott a misogynist, so inspiring. No. Watching Truman sit in front of...
Wait, was
addressing
it Truman?
Them,
huh? I can't remember.
No. Sorry. Roosevelt. Sorry.
Roosevelt, right? Roosevelt.
Roosevelt in his chair saying that everyone must put in the extra effort to defeat the Nazis, for it is a peril that could see the end of Western civilization as we know it. And to prove that everyone must take that extra step, I will stand with crippling polio. Went, and stood in front of the audience. They went nuts. That would have been so agonizing. What a legend.
Yeah.
That has got to be the greatest speech in human history. I can't think of a better gesture.
Man, for some reason, I really...
It's better
really
than find them on the beaches.
I really like Churchill just being... Just like him giving updates on the war. Just like, this is the end of the beginning. And then this is the beginning of the end. You're like, God damn, this is a long ass wall, man. But like, just in, and he was like always correct in all of his analysis too. Just like, it's weird how, like, you know, him being a conservative doesn't matter.
No,
wartime has different.
You probably
rules.
Want a conservative at the head if it's a war.
Yeah.
Because they're just going to make really calculated moves. They're not going to think about, oh, yeah, but what about the workers? They're going to think, yeah, how do we get those workers on the front line?
True.
And on top of that, because they're in the normal measures of big business trying to control the scenes of the Conservative Party, I'm pretty sure that big business would go, look, I don't know what I'm doing here. You do it. Mm. I don't know. Actually, it depends. It's not actually a thing between... I take that all back. Conservatives suck. Major giving them props,
but also like big businesses don't have a spine. Like they'll, man. Like there were a lot of big businesses in Germany that were like, yeah, fucking Hitler. Yeah, he's our man. Like, you know, and then like right after it was like, oh my god, thank you for saving us. Like, dude, you were like tailoring his suits and shit, weren't you? Like,
yeah, there was. It doesn't really matter. It just matters on the quality of human being, and there's no doubt that Churchill was the right man for the right job. Much like how it's a real disappointment to me that Paul Keating was a peacetime prime minister. He would have been mad as a wartime prime minister.
Yeah.
And on top of that, actually, John Curtin was a great wartime prime minister, and he was Labour. It's about the man. It's not about the party.
It's about the man
when it comes to war.
You know, like, actually watching some of those Paul Keating takedowns, I was just thinking, like, it doesn't matter. There's this perception that left-wing people are, like, you know, as Bill Maher said, pansies. But it does. It just, like, Paul Keating isn't by any means.
No.
He's a boss.
He's
like,
savage.
And that's why it doesn't matter what your politics is. It's the person.
It's
the
so
character.
Is.
The character.
I mean,
matters.
Everyone thinks that they're pansies now because Bill Shorten looks like a disappointed mother. That had breast cancer in both tits and they've been cut off. That is Bill Shorten.
I would have, don't you reckon Bill Shorten's like kind of disappointed at his stepchildren for like choosing film studies over law?
Yes.
Like, yeah, well, I mean,
it's just not stable.
Yeah, I want you to follow your dream, but like,
I wish it was law. What's wrong with that?
You can do both, you know.
Why don't you do your law and then you do your film?
No, Bill, stop being so lame.
Don't you think that there's moments where he's reading through parliamentary papers and going, just wish this was the Donna Hay recipe book. Anyway, let's talk about...
Why is Bill Shorten a gay man in our heads?
He's not a gay man in my head. He's definitely not. He's a heterosexual 50-year-old woman and quite hot.
Yeah, that's apt.
Loafer conundrum.
So this is quite interesting. This is like our audience questions. Originally meant for
Miss
Love.
By the way, somebody just wrote it as well. I've got to clear the air. There was a listener, I can't remember who it was, and he wrote in saying, man, I'm sorry that I asked you for audience suggestions and then you started paying us out for writing in audience suggestions and telling us to shut up. I'm still a pod fan. I just feel really bad about it. I can't remember that. We were joking.
Yeah, dude.
Just relax. We don't hate you for trying to give us content instead of us going, Trump? Is he still a thing?
Yeah. And why is like 20% of our audience on the spectrum, like, including like one third of the hosts. I'll leave it up to you to decide.
Two thirds. Let's be honest.
Two thirds. Yeah. Okay. Two thirds. One and
two
a half.
Two out of three of us has autism.
I guess we're sharing the crowd. You know, like leader, like follower. No, dude, it was bad.
Yes, we are the llamas of autism, and everybody that listens to us are the sheep. Just slightly shorter autistics.
So this is like, this was one of the, this is Lufa Conundrum. So this guy, he...
Sent in by a fellow autist.
A fellow autist who...
Remember, trains are mad.
Chook, chook. That sound just like releases endorphins.
The bullet train goes at 300 kilometers an hour.
In Japan, it's the best. Yeah, so like this guy, he's got a question. His fiance was watching him bathe, which in itself is like kind of a weird thing. Like either you join in or like, no, what? Oh, no, she was brushing her teeth or something. Anyway, she had her loofah.
But he was getting bathed.
Yeah, he was taking a shower or something.
So it is the movie Shine.
Yeah,
it is. Again, this man is definitely an autist. The reason she was watching him is so he didn't drown.
And he could have. He could have. So he was basically taking a shower and then like... So he says that he, like, you know, cleaned himself as normal, and then he took the loofah, and then he was cleaning his back, as you do, and then, like, at the end of it, he just cleaned his ass with it.
And, why not?
And then the girl, his fiance, flipped out. She was like, this is crazy.
More evidence to the fact that you're autistic. Don't wipe your ass with a loofah in front of your girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah, that's like...
This is a very tiny modicum of social interaction that we should just point out.
And according to her... The soapy water running through his crack should clean it, and not the loofah. And he goes like,
what's the difference between men and women? That's not going to clean your ass.
No,
and on top of that, nowhere near as thoroughly. That is like just putting soap suds in the car wash. And then leaving before the brush comes.
No, okay, like as a proud loofah owner, I do understand his fiance's point of view though. Like, I don't mind someone using the loofah, but can you not like rub your asshole with it, please? Because like, imagine like, and the worst thing about this was, I don't know if they picked up on this, but he was saying that was the last thing that he'd do. And like, man, the first thing that I'd probably do with the loofah is like, you know, I don't know, use it on my chest or something, or like, I don't know, like something. A place that is not my ass. So, like, his asshole is on my fucking, you know, neck or some shit now. So here's the thing. My opinion is, I'm on your girl side on this one. Use your loofah for everything but your asshole.
But your butt.
And just, you know, like, okay, what happened to, like, an old-fashioned run your, use your hand to, like, just clean it, you know?
That's true, actually. You're a freak.
Stop using other people's garments to clean your ass.
I understand that Roman soldiers used to share a wet sponge, and that would be their version of a bidet, was just wiping their asshole with a wet sponge that other soldiers, thousands of other soldiers, would be using to wipe their anus with.
Exactly.
But times have changed. Sponges are not that rare anymore.
Oh, and just before we end this, he also had another problem because this conversation led to, do you wipe your ass crack with the towel or not?
Oh, yeah.
Man, I'd say you've got it. His girlfriend's opinion
sometimes
was...
Sometimes there's a brown spot on it too, which is so dirty.
Oh, dude, that is so bad. But his girlfriend's opinion was, and over here I kind of don't agree with her, which was that... You just pat dry your ass with the towel and you just let the crease dry itself.
It's not as fun.
It's not as fun. And plus, like, the feeling that you get from that rough fabric going through the crack is pretty good.
It's one of life's small pleasures. Give the man what he wants. we get that you have a point with the loafer, but wiping the towel with your ass, I think, is firmly in the court of the boyfriend.
True.
And I think that really you should probably dump her.
His fiance. No, just get two towels and then you guys can be together. This is like, I don't use someone else's
towel.
It's just
easier to find someone on Tinder these days. How sad is that? The relationships have gone down to that level that it's probably easier to find a new girlfriend than it is to get a new towel.
Despicable. No, it's not. It's really helpful, you know. It just makes it easier. Like, Tinder's great, you know.
We'll get onto that maybe another time, but can I just say, Ali, what a king.
That is not helpful in this situation, as you could imagine.
You know, probably not, but at the same time, yeah, he's a dynamo when it comes to a sexual Facebook.
Yeah. Like, now I get people saying hi, and I lose them most of the time because I'm shit at banter.
So good. You've been podcasting for years. Shit at banter.
How weird is that? You know what it is? Just like... When I like someone, that's when it doesn't work.
Well, everyone has that. It pretty
yeah, cool. And that's like, and I can't get out of that trap. Anyways, moving on to, wait, how much time do we have? Because this next...
Ali's personal Churchill moment, his darkest hour.
What do I say to high on Tinder?
Trump's state of disunion. We can talk about it for a bit.
So go for it. Yeah. Okay. So this was recommended by Sandy, who is a loyal pod listener, and I haven't
just
like
all round champion human being. One of those people that does good for society.
Yeah, she's mad. She's mad, and like
kind of the exact opposite of Nikki Webster, really.
Yeah, she's awesome. She direct messaged me on Instagram. Which is like, now I've become like Chomsky, which is like just replying to emails all day. And like,
You wake up, you spend the time where you're most alert going, well, there's really two ways to answer this question.
Yeah, and like, unlike you, and you're like, I bet like this is what I imagine your audience questions would be like, dude, how sick is cursor? Like how... And mine is like, what is the state of the Chinese economy? And that like,
well, they're both very difficult questions to answer. How sick is cursor?
Well, there's... several ways to measure this, and I've explored and written in detail on two of them. I'll just give you a brief overview of them.
Yeah, but
rest assured, cursor is the sickest.
It's like this has been a well debated topic, and I think we've reached a consensus now. The cursor possesses a skill that no other rapper in his generation has.
The fact that he's constantly his art form that he's talking about is how good he is at rapping, which then perpetuates the theory that he is good at rapping, despite the fact that all he ever talks about is how good he is at rapping.
That is every one of his songs, and I love it. Keep it coming.
10
for 10, brah. You promised you'd do it. Let's see it happen.
Cursor is
the
mad.
Sickest. I gotta say, it was the happiest moment of my life was my editor laughing at the fact that I just released a video called Cursor is the Sickest. Then we were playing some of his songs, quote-unquote, ironically, because we're hipsters and are too insecure to say that things are actually mad, are mad. And so there was a point, I think it was about 2:30 into the song, and he was just sitting there intensely with that Beethoven pent fingers look. And then he finally goes, man. Cursor is the sickest.
Yeah, cursor is the sickest. It's mad because like I like put myself as being interested in an event like for a cursor concert. Like, dude, I haven't gotten more likes for anything else than that. it's weird. And the fact like
don't
it was
fuck with cursor.
It was kind of a joke. And then like and Christo, who's like the Instagram man of friendly Geordies, just like messaged him. So I was like, are you gonna go, man? Are you actually gonna go? And I was like, man, I want to, but like. I think about the audience over there, and then like I.
It's a very high chance of you getting chaired.
Yeah,
easy just out enough. Of excitement that they're going. Oh, he's playing Dead Set 6.
Why doesn't he have a pouch?
Permanent brain damage because Cursor played Dead Set 6. All right, so Trump.
Yeah, Trump. Sorry. So Sandy. First of all, screw you. You made me listen to 1.5 hours of a marketing speech by Trump, essentially, and then having to do research on
this
like
Trump's stakes.
If those claims are even correct.
And how correct are they?
Well, they're just like in their initial phase. So like, fuck all is true as of now. The only thing, okay, so let's start off with like, I have conveniently forgotten all my notes, but like one of the, okay, so this is what like consumed most of my time. I was telling Jordan this, which is like, so one of the main things about like his tax reform that he mentioned at the State of the Union was like the reduction of corporate tax, which went from like 35% to like 22%. And then, yeah, that sounds bad, but then like I did like a 2 days of research to find out if it really is bad. And the sad conclusion is, yeah, it's pretty shit. Like, it's not good. But so, okay, so
but it's very good to know that the infographs that the Australian Labor Party puts out are correct, I guess.
So corporate taxes. So one of the things that America is doing, they're following all of the other first world countries by reducing corporate tax. It is a race to the bottom, but that is not why it sucks. So after doing some level of research on this, what corporate tax does is it basically floods money from, it floods in foreign capital, right? Yeah. For one, corporate tax, as most people know, is already avoidable. Like most corporations don't pay the sort of tax that they're supposed to anyways.
I think in America, they're dodging 50% of the tax that they should be paying.
And America's like the worst offender in this. So in itself, like corporate tax is sort of irrelevant in that way anyways. But then they still, and then I was wondering, is like, okay, this is one of the questions that I was like doing on my research. It's like, if it's already irrelevant, then why are they lobbying for lower corporate taxes? And then apparently, like if you lower corporate tax, then they pay even less.
So they don't, because the argument always is that if you lower the taxes to, say, Singapore's rate, Singapore almost has 100% of the corporate tax coming in, because they're giving them a sweetheart deal of, what, 2.5% corporate tax?
Well, Singapore's economy is a little different, whereas, like, they're a really, really small country with zero manufacturing. So what happens with...
So is America.
Yeah, well, America is
America's
gonna be
one city on an island.
It's in most of... So once you reduce corporate tax, most of the money that floods in is obviously foreign money.
Yeah.
Which means they're not just putting in money for free. They're putting in money so that they can take the profits from you, right? That's why they're putting in the money anyways. So then the argument boils down to, yeah, but like them putting in money increases investment, and the investment leads to jobs, and that's the point of reducing the corporate tax. But like, after looking at the American economy, man, like that's not going to happen, because most of the money that comes in goes into like stocks and shit, like speculative money, because that's where most of the American economy is, unfortunately. Most of it is just like speculative stuff. And even, you know, how they're saying, oh, the economy is growing. Yeah, again, because like the stocks are through the roof. This money goes away instantly. So none of the money is being or will be focused into manufacturing and building actual patient investment. It'll just go into like Wall Street. And yeah, and the stocks would go up. The dollar is going to like strengthen even more. And it'll give off the illusion that, yeah, we're doing mad. But then once the crisis hits, all of that money is going to go away, either to foreign owners or just like just the crisis will hit, and then the money itself would disappear. Like as in like whatever stock was worth $500 would be worth $100. So like $400 are going to go. Like that's just an example, right? And
I cannot believe how fickle the American economy is.
Yeah, well,
this is what the entire global economy is based around. Vegas.
Pretty much. Well, not everywhere. So Germany's like one of those countries, which is why Hitler would have won. Germany's one of those countries that like keeps a balance. They don't go... America just has become... Since the 70s, America's become a vacuum cleaner where it sucks the resources of all of the other countries. It's become a Vegas, right? So
okay, so what you're saying is those historians are correct. The world would be better if it was run by Japan and Germany than it would be run by America. How much is this just hardcore ABC radio?
At this point.
Don't you reckon? Saucy, unfiltered, naughty questions.
Yes. So
how big's your can?
So like coming so after, like this will give you like an example of what the American economy is now. So after the Second World War, American companies realized that even if they so America had a boom. Second World War was great for America economically speaking. They were selling all of the stuff that people were blowing throughout Europe. So they realized that even if all of the factories that are producing bullets, bombs, guns were converted into like manufacturing like other shit like cars, vacuum cleaners, the American consumers aren't strong enough to consume all of that, so we need to sell it overseas. So that's why they started like putting in money into the Europe and rebuilding it, right? In fact they rebuilt Germany after Germany was kind of a dick to them, you know. So and it was because of their own need, and it went on great. It actually was great because like not only did it help Europe, the world economy was mad because of it, because they pegged everything to the dollar, which was extremely strong. And then until the 70s, where like America realized that it was a deficit country. Like Europe and Japan were producing, and later China, a lot more stuff than what the US was. And they're like, okay, so in every case of history, we have to cease being the superpower now because the business isn't doing that well. Until they transformed their economy, which made it into the vacuum. Because what they did was like, okay, so if we're not producing stuff, all of these guys are, we'll take all of their profits, pump it into Wall Street, multiply it, and give them their profits back. And that's how we remain the superpower.
So it's just a leech.
Essentially, right? And it was beneficial for Europe and Japan because they're like, all right, well, Vegas is the best casino. You know, if you really want to play big games, then you've got to go to Vegas. And that's what Wall Street was. So that's where the American economy is pretty much at this point. And so if you reduce the corporate tax, it's not going to go into like Volkswagen plants coming to the US. It's just going to like go, it's going to like, you know, increase the stock
CEO
value.
CEO of Walmart.
Yeah, yeah. Stocks of, and not even like increase. And the other thing that they do is in order to like keep companies in the US, they'd like, and the argument would be, this is what Trump was saying, right? He was saying like, this is the another thing that he said in the State of Union is like, oh, I've managed to like stop a lot of these car plants from moving to Mexico.
Is that true?
It's true in a way, but the problem...
Yeah, that my boy.
Yeah, yeah. But the problem is that this was like one of the union heads of car manufacturing in the US was saying. He was saying like...
Oh, who cares what he thinks?
No, what he was saying was like the way that he managed to convince them to stay was invest into modernization and technological innovation, which basically means that the workers aren't staying. You're just giving them more money so they can buy machines to do the work instead of taking it to Mexico where they can get cheap labor to do the work. It's like, so I don't know what the point of this whole thing was. Like,
so it would be better to just take them to Mexico. At least
in a way, at least someone's getting paid, you know? So that was also, and corporate tax and like, and corporate tax reduction in almost every case is not good for the country. Except for if your country is collapsing, then you probably need to reduce corporate tax. Like Greece needed to reduce corporate tax, but that's like, but the US is not dead. So that was shit. I don't know why that's a good thing. He's reducing the tax bracket in a way. But dude, American taxation is actually quite fucked. Where like you're getting taxed 25% if you're making $250,000 or over. You're getting taxed 20% if you're making $150,000. And all the tax cuts... So the best way to put this is all of the tax cut that Trump is saying will save... Like progressive taxing, right? So the more you earn, the more tax you pay. So tax cuts like that. So the more you earn, the more tax you don't have to pay. So like at the end of the day, he's saying like the middle class is going to do amazing because of this tax. Yeah, they might be able to get like one iPhone a year from this tax cut, whereas like the rich are going to get way more off. And all of this money, tax is important, man. Like all of this money comes into the state kitty so that we can provide for services that are essential.
And it gets no coverage.
None whatsoever. And what do you...
It's always just about... yeah, when this says it all. When Trump was at the Global Economic Forum, MSN's headline for that was Trump admits he sometimes wakes up in the middle of the night and tweets. Talking about the global economy and they're interested in Twitter.
Yeah. Man, the World Economic Forum.
It's not that hard to understand. If the government doesn't have money, then corporations have money. It's better for government to have the money.
Well,
every scenario. That's why China's killing it.
And you know, you'll see a pattern. You look at every third world country and you'll find one thing in common. This is actually the problem with most countries that haven't been able to progress. Their state is too weak because they can't collect taxes.
Mm.
The people aren't willing to pay them taxes.
And there's also a massive black economy.
Yeah, there's a massive black economy because of it, because most of the money is untaxed.
Mm.
And so like, I don't know, like a country like Pakistan, for instance, where... That is the one big problem where like people are not willing to pay tax, which means the government is dirt poor. which means that they can't police these people to pay taxes because they don't have the police to do it. And that's like a spiral. Taxes are good. Taxes gives you serve. Taxes makes your state stronger to make sure it can control things.
Incredible. So Caligula's form of government was right. Forcing the rich elite to have orgies and pay huge exorbitant prices for the entrance to the brothel. It's probably the best way to collect revenue.
Pretty
it
much.
Got them out of it got them out of having zero money in their treasury.
True.
Back to being a robust economy again. I reckon that they should implement that.
And these tax cuts that he is enacting are kind of ridiculous in a time where the world economy is growing at 4%. The U.S. economy is growing pretty strong.
Like, this is what Reagan's economist was saying. He himself, one of the architects of neoliberalism, they were saying that it was an insane experiment that they were trying that could have paid off. It didn't. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing left to deregulate. We know that cutting taxes doesn't work. It has adverse effects to the economy. This is somebody who set up the current system of government.
Yeah.
And he's saying that what Trump is doing is going to be a disaster.
And it's,
who's he listening to? Who's telling him that these tax cuts are a good idea?
Like, you know, economists that have...
I bet you it's Sean Hannity. I bet you it's not a economist.
No, dude, these and their predictions are ridiculously ambitious too. Like, I don't want to get too into details, but they're predicting like a 3% GDP rise in the next 4 years, which is, I don't know how that's going to happen. But like, if you agree with their, and that's why, like, he says, like, without, this is the other thing that he's saying. So I'm doing all of these tax cuts without increasing the deficit. But then I looked up some of the workings, and that is a ridiculous statement, because if that can only happen if the economy grows at like 3% in the next 3 years, which is almost impossible for a developed nation like the US. And hence, it will go into further deficits, because the less money you take from people, the less money you have. So the more your deficit...
So it's all fantasy.
It's all fantasy.
He's just written a very boring Harry Potter.
Yeah, and he's just like, he's bullshitting. Like always, really.
Wow.
What a
way to end it. We probably do. Mm. That's such a powerful statement. Don't you think that that's the thing that they would take out if they were just going to make a documentary like The Corporation or something like that? And then you just said, I mean, he's just bullshitting.
He's just,
like, always.
Yeah.
In 2018, thanks to your crowdfunding, we made a documentary that will do fuck all.
But before we end this, just one thing to actually say, if Trump actually does it. So the one thing which he should actually enact on was generic medications. Medication in the US is extremely expensive. Just across the board and in Canada, you can get generic medication because corporations don't have a stranglehold of the entire market. So he was in a State of the Union mention that he's gonna like go for generic medication, but like that would be mad Trump. You'd be fucking awesome if you did that. I don't think you would be able to, because you don't know the monster that is American medical corporations. Like, you have no idea. And also, you have zero resolve to do it. But if you do it, then, like, that'll be pretty cool.
All right. Friendly Geordie's podcast. We will see you next week. Maybe with Miss Love, maybe not. Ooh, guess who? See ya. Bye.